All of us as children of God, we have authority on this earth. And our authority, there are two sides to it. All right? Later on Saturday, we'll talk about that. All right, taking charge on the earth. We need to discuss that. But there are two sides. There is first power with God. That's what's most important. You know what I call power with God? We did a series about it, I remember, 3 years ago here. Power with God. Number one is that we have power with God. What does that mean to have power with God? Let's go back to the matter of Abraham. Abraham, what did he do? When God said, I'm going to destroy the place, if I find that things are exactly the way they are, and that is being sounded in heaven, and Abraham realized that there's a risk, it may just be like that. He's heard about the place. He knows how bad things there are, all right? He knew how bad things there were at that time. So he said, let us pray. Peradventure, all right? The people, he said, they are so bad. Will you destroy all of them, even if you find 50 of them are not so bad? And God said to him simply, no problem. If I find 50, I will spare the whole place. Now, notice something. Sparing of the whole place was not dependent upon everybody being good. It was dependent upon a few being good. I don't know whether you noticed that. That is the whole place. So sometimes when you look at a place like, there are countries you look at, maybe look at a place like United States, the way they are behaving these days, and you are wondering. Don't forget, good people don't make news. Usually they don't. You understand my point? So all the things happening may not be all that is happening. The one you are seeing in the news may not be all that is happening. And God says, I'm preserving the place because of a certain number of people. Many of the places we are wondering, how come? The people for whose sake God is preserving the place, you don't know them. They don't have to make the news. Very important point to bear in mind. Now, this is the application of it. Because of you, everybody say me. That's it all. What I'm saying is not a joke. Because of you, and because of me, if indeed we are children of God working with God, for our sake, a nation will be preserved. Amen. That's how it is. That is how it is. God, listen, that's how it is. He said, and there's something I've explained again and again about that discussion between God and Abraham. Sometimes we look at it and say that, are you saying that Abraham could have asked for, okay, let me put it like this. Now we say that is Abraham prayed. Yes, very, very powerful. And even me, I'm saying that having power with God. Therefore, he made God change his mind if you will see 50 people. But there's something I found out later. I said, also, there's a side to it. God was saying that, okay, you think if I found 50, I will come down here. I don't know what I heard I said. That is, at the end of the day, what the Bible did was to show us what he called, at the end of the day, what God did, yes, I wanted to say, was to show us what the Bible calls the demonstration of his righteousness. That even you, a human being, you understand that if they are less than 10, they shouldn't survive. I don't know whether you get my point. So Abraham prayed up to 10 and he stopped. Now, two things I'm bringing out from there. One, the fact that Abraham could pray and ask for mercy. But number two, that God requires, or will always have an excuse to preserve a place. If he finds it, he will not destroy the place. And that's what he calls the salt of the earth. I said we should open somewhere at the beginning. We did not read in Matthew chapter 5. The book of Matthew chapter 5. In verse 13, he said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? Just jump down to save time. Verse 14 says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket. But a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Two things I want to say here. Quickly, let me explain it. And then we'll pray a bit and then we'll close. Don't have to stay so long. Remember what I said? And that's the fact that God, when he finds an excuse, he spares the place. And Jesus said two things here. Number one, he said, you are the salt of the earth. And number two, he said, you are the light of the world. Long ago, I used to think he was saying the same thing through two different metaphors. Are you getting my point? That is telling us that, listen, we are very important to, you are the salt, you are very, very important, you are the light of the world. But actually, there are two different things that he said there. If you look at it, he said, you are the salt of what?
Yes.
Salt of what?
Yes.
Second one, you are the light of what?
The world.
Okay, you're not. It's not the same thing. Earth and world are two different things.
Yeah.
The earth is the earth. The physical earth. The physical earth. The soil. The buildings. The roads. Maybe the economy. The structure. Things that you find around. That's the earth. Salt. I don't have time to go into details, but salt simply means this is the reason I don't destroy it. That's the meaning of salt. You are the salt of the earth means that this earth is doomed. Totally doomed and given over to destruction were it not for you. That's the meaning of the word salt. There's an important lesson to learn from them talking about praying for your country. Bear that one in mind. The second one is you are the light of the world. Light means you give direction, you give illumination to the people that live on the earth. I don't know whether you hear what I said.
Yes,
listen, the earth itself is a structure that is there, and God said, why have I not destroyed it totally? It's because of you. Then the world describes the people that are operating and the systems they have in place on that earth. Now, these are the things I'm trying to bring out here. Number one, when it says you are the salt of the earth, it means be careful that you don't lose your preserving effect by beginning to participate in the corruption that's in the earth. Let me give you an example. You are a university lecturer, like I am. God said, you see this campus, I would have killed it. Except that there are some lecturers like you. I don't know what I get my point. I will have wiped it out. I will have destroyed the whole thing. You will have come one day and discovered that government has done the close the door. There's an earthquake. The place is shaking. And no, nothing is working there again. And the students, all of them will be scattered all far and wide. You understand? And he says, listen, you know, it's because of people like you that have left the place intact. And let me quickly explain the principle. Very important for you to get this point. When God said, I have come to see. Now, please. Oh, follow me closely. When God said, I have come to see whether things are like the way they say they are, what it means, I've come to check what each person is doing. What I mean is that God will go around and he will just see a man. In fact, there's a story I read somewhere. I don't know where I read it. Eleazar, Abraham's servant. That one day he went to Sodom. And then maybe a man wanted to steal from him and he defended himself, but the man injured him in the process. Injured Eleazar. And Eleazar bled. So somebody dragged him before a judge for fighting. Eleazar didn't do anything wrong, yet the judge ruled against Eleazar and said he should pay that man for helping him remove some of his excess blood, bloodletting, which was a form of treatment in those days. So Eleazar took a stone and hit the judge in the head and said, pay him. And they left. Say, I'm owing him, you are owing me. So two of you settle each other. Now, I don't know whether, of course, we don't know whether that really happened, but this is not a modern story. These are stories written that time, long ago, about the kind of wickedness that was going on in Sodom. Yes. One day I bought a phone. I got home and discovered the phone was used. And I bought it from, I won't mention the name of the shop. Big shop in town. You know, something happened, you know. It's not, CDMA phones. Visa phone. So I went to one of these major dealers, not Visa phone shop, themselves. I bought the phone. I wanted to give it to my son, you know, because that time they used to do a virtual private network. Put it on the network so that you can just call his parents anytime. So I was scrolling through it and found a number stored on it. You know, that means the phone has been used. It's not brand new. They packaged it back. So I went back to the shop. Why are you sending me a used phone? I came to your shop and paid the brand new money. So the guy was saying that I've already activated the SIM card inside. I don't know what I heard I said. Wait, excuse me. I bought a phone from you. You said there's a SIM card inside. I'm complaining that the phone is a used phone which is sold to me as brand new. And then you're arguing with me that, well, there was a SIM card inside, and when I was putting the phone on, I activated it, which I would do naturally. And therefore, if it's refunding me the money of the phone, it's going to deduct the money of the credit that comes with the card, which I did not use. But because if he wants to sell the phone to somebody else, he has to put another, you know, he told one long story. God, please, what I'm saying, I'm not proud of it. When I banged the table and shouted for him like this, the guy gave me another phone. But that's not even the gist. That is, I hit his table so hard, the phone's there shook. He said, sir, you are destroying my things. I said, you don't get the point. Now I'm through here, you will be destroyed. Yeah. What are you talking about? It wasn't the money. Well, you can understand this turning with. But you know what? I'm going to a point too. There was one guy sitting down there. I just said, okay, let's have an arbiter. Let somebody just mediate this matter. I said, oh boy, please, judge this case. And he said, oh guy, you know that SIM card where you activate? You see truth like this. Why? How much is it? How much was the credit that came with the phone? 15 naira. 50 naira. You know, I told you that God is working on me. I'm merciful now. Now I understand why Peter and Co. said, Lord, should we call fire? Now, when you reach a particular place, you say, God, no, the only thing that will solve this thing is call fire to burn these people up. Please, I'm trying to, the Lord is good. I hope you are following me. Now, why did I tell that story? Back to the university thing. When God came down to look, you know what he was checking? He was just going around businesses and seeing those who will tell the truth and seeing those who will do like I have said, who will turn truth on his head because of little gain. They want to sell a phone that's used as if it's new. He will leave that and go somewhere else. And just watch people, you know, how they will do. He will go somewhere, go to the judge. He just keeps going around and seeing whether somebody will uphold truth and refrain from iniquity. He was literally counting 50 of such people. He wasn't checking what's in your heart, what's in your heart, how are you? No. He would just go somewhere and observe them. He would just come there and say, okay, the young, two men came to the house of Lot, remember, those angels. And the Lord is just watching. That's what all those angels were doing, because the angels were not doing the counting for him. And so, okay, this young boys and these men in the city have come to besiege Lot's door to rape two men. Let me just see those on the street that will say this is bad. Just who will just say that what you guys are doing is bad. You will have counted them. They are counted. But most people just look and say, what are they? Strangers. Close their door. They just hiss. One of the things God doesn't take lightly are those who do wickedness to strangers. If you want those people who be destroyed, those who maltreat orphans, widows, strangers. God doesn't take it. He doesn't take it lightly. If you're in a place where people are always doing that, either preach hard or run away. Because judgment will come one day. And when God's judgment wants to come, let me tell you the truth, you won't like it. One of my we won't like it is that you won't even understand what is going on. One day you'll hear that, I don't want to say what I want to say. Because it affects the way you pray about some things. In the negative way, so let me leave it. Let me say another way. You'll hear that soldier just came one day. They are looking for, okay, good. They are looking for Boko Haram members that ran into the place and they just shoot everybody. You'll be shouting human rights, violation human rights, but you won't know that God said it was my judgment. The time came. I said, wipe that village out. Some of the villages that soldiers wiped out fighting in Abia State the other time against these terrorists, all these kidnappers, it was God's judgment. Yeah. An angel will just go around strolling, looking for five people who will say, kidnapping and hiding people in our village is wrong. And they will not see. And then when his wrath will arrive, They will shoot and kill everybody, level the whole place, and you will wonder, No, God said, listen, I came first. I just wanted five people to say this is bad. I'm not forgetting about the salt of the earth. So God says, the university, what do I do? He said, all right, what is going on? Let's take the lecture as an example. He said, you see a lot of lecturers, all the lecturers here, not all, maybe most. They give marks free to those who pay them money. They sexually harass girls. They do this, they do that. He says all of that, all right? But why I've not wiped out the school is because there are a few people. What is the lesson? He said, this is salt of the air. When he says, if the salt loses its savor, one day, one of those few lecturers will be broke. And a hopeless student will offer him enough money to solve, maybe the father will call and say, take, give my son the marks he needs and let him graduate. And God said, no, I'm watching. And one of the salt, are you getting my point? We take the money. The following year, university closes down. Why? The salt lost its savor. I don't know whether I get the point. That is why in Nigeria, please, Christians, don't take bribes. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Christians, don't take bribes. Every bribe you take, you increase the number of bombs that Boko Haram can detonate. That is what is called salt losing its savor. Please, if you are a civil servant, as a believer, die poor. It's better. Don't build a house that will collapse on your children. That was what he meant when he said, if the salt loses its savor. He wasn't talking about those who are praying in their hearts, oh, Father God, you redeem the country. No. He just goes to the market. He's counting the number of people that refuse to sell fake things and call it genuine. He goes to the filling stations and he's checking the number of people that don't rig their pumps. That's what he's doing, no? He's not going to check the number of people who come to church. That is one place God does not go. He never goes to church to check how many people come. Don't let your pastor deceive you that God is coming to check how many are faithful. He does not come to check the number of people who are faithful because he came to write attendance. He only checks those who came, heard the word, and applied it. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. So when he says salt, don't lose the savor. He said, guys, there are a few of you I count on. Why have not destroyed everything? Please, don't join them. If you can't beat them, please don't join them. At least don't join them. Now, please get my point. Salt is not about preaching. It's about remaining holy. It's about being different. Salt is not about how many souls have you won. It is how have you refused to participate in their iniquity. That's all. That's what salt is. Light is different. Light is a totally different matter. Light is the one who begins to give direction. So it's a dual function. The job of light is to interact with people and teach them the way of God. The job of light is to show people that there is another way to live. The issue about light is a public matter. It's about public display. Salt is a very private matter. Nobody knows what is going on apart from God. When I say public display, now what I mean is this. He said it himself, if you light a light, you put it to shine. So when he says you are the light, he says wherever you are, please be the example. Let everybody see that you are different. I told you a story some time ago. I was in my office. One lady called me. Doc, please, where are you? One of my co-workers, she's not a doctor, she works in the hospital. You know, there are different kinds of people that work there. Where are you? Where are you now? I was like, what is going on? I have to see you now. So finally, okay, I'm in the office. She came. Ha! I said, what is it? Let's make a long story short. She saw this book, By Faith Acquire Life. Let me see. Just turn it over. I want to be sure it's a book. Just turn it over at the back. Acquire Life. Acquire Life. Yes, I think that's it. Yes, that's it. Uh-huh. She saw the book with somebody and they were talking about it. Let me read now. Let me not read. Let me read now. Let me read. Are you getting my point? You know, it's okay. She now took the book from her friend and turned it over and saw my photograph. And I said, what? This man is a preacher. So that day she was calling me. I have to say, okay. I said, what is it? He said, no wonder you are so different. That's where I'm going. She said, no wonder you are so different. Now, I didn't think I was different. I was just normal. I don't know what that gets my point. He's the one that decided that I was different. There are many reasons, I think. But one of the reasons I'm sure of is that she's a procurement officer. And our dealings always is on spending money on the hospital's behalf. And I am the approving authority in that particular area. It's what I say that's final. And we had worked together like that for about a year or more. You know, this go up and down, all right, we buy this, how much? What did they quote for you? No, I don't like that price. No, those kind of things. One day, a man walked into my office. I had to get something done in my department. It cost about, instead of 1.4 million naira for it. I told him if he could do it in 2 days, I'll make sure this hospital pays him 50,000 extra. So I said, okay. So he upped his quote to 1.450. My idea, no, not into them, like 3 days. I was desperate. There's a reason why. So I went to my CMD and explained that. But I told the man, put all the effort, we'll pay you 50,000 extra. I said, don't worry, I'll persuade my boss about that. So before that, he had insisted on 1.7. We had talked to and fro. We had talked. He said he's not doing it. I won't pay 1.7. As he was about to leave, I said, come back. I said, sir, I am not taking a dime from you. He looked at me like this. Which church is your own? That was when the man had calculated 300,000 for me. So that's why he insisted on 1.7. I had spoken and spoken. Holy Spirit just whispered it to me. Of course, I didn't know it was Holy Spirit. It was just leaving. I said, look, I can't get my CMD to approve that. It's too high. This has to come below 1.5. He said, Lila is not doing it. He's going. Hey. And I said, okay. I'm sorry. No, I was bargaining hard. I'm sorry, we can't pay that amount. As I was about to leave, suddenly just I said, come on. I'm not taking a dime from you. He turned around and said, which church do you go to? I said, oh, is that what the problem is? You will take 1.4? He said, yes, 1.4 is all right. He said, 1.4. I was one that said, all right, how many days do you need to do it? He told me, I can't remember for sure now. Maybe he said 5 days. I said, do it in 3 days, I give you 1.450. He said, okay. So, of course, I pursued the thing, begged my snow, because it was crucial. I had to have it done before weekend. The panel was arriving on Monday, and everything had to be done before they would arrive. That's why I was pushing so hard. And the man looked at me. He said, are you not a human being? That used to work in night hell. I said, oh God, don't worry. He was making another, which kind of creature are you? He said, working night hell all his life. He has never seen somebody refuse a deal in which you collect his cut. I said, oh, so that was your problem. The man was one. He said, this man no go go around if you don't pay 1.7. The Lord is good. I'm bringing an issue here. God is just saying to Christians, please, I just want one more person to be different. That's all. That's salt, light. I'm mixing the two now. I'm beginning to mix it up. Light is simple. You start explaining to people, life doesn't have to be like this. You are the one that gives them direction. And Jesus said, don't keep quiet. You are the light of the world. It is not a salt function now. Do you understand my point? This is a light function. It must shine. People must see that this fellow is different. It must be obvious that he's different. He will enter into politics. You are in Senate. They are sharing money before they pass a bill. Say, you guys know, say me, I know they take. Oh. I will pass this bill as my conscience dictates. Oh. They will give you a name. That's what they call light. They will give you a name. You are in the State House of Assembly. Say, Everybody knows it. My own different too. This money, I know they share. Life doesn't mean that nobody will do anything wrong. When I'm watching, they start fighting battles that you can't win. Nothing, somebody did not send you. Are you getting the point I'm making?
Yes.
It is simple. Let your light so shine that men will see. A light that they must see. Please, I hope you're getting the point I'm making.
Yes,
my emphasis for today on that salt matter. That's why I give that illustration. So in the university, as an example, God said, I have come to account. If there are too few, I destroy the place. I remove the accreditation. I remove government money coming in. I scattered their students. I closed the place down. That's why I'm emphasizing the Christians. He's not praying for this country. It's beyond the matter of, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. We speak, God say, listen, when I'm coming to account, when I'm coming to account, with all the prayer that Abraham prayed, I still counted. Now the number, where would they negotiate? As for the counting, I will count. We can negotiate the number. But I will what?
Count.
I will count. I will count. My time is up. Let me just add this one to it. Anybody that's not ready to depart from iniquity cannot pray effectively for the nation. As I said to you the other time, I don't believe up to 1% of Christians are praying for Nigeria. They are not up to 1%. I don't mean to give you bad news. If you see us, pastors, they do ruku-ruku. You go know what they talk. And you see pastors sharing money. Going to government house to go and beg for money. You know their prayer is not working. It's not working. The pastors are doing that much more than the church members. All I can remember the story of our sister in Abuja, DG or something. A tie head like Mungo Park. No makeup, no jewelry. People make up, she made down. At the end of the day, they won't do contract. She said, my portion is... How much was the money she collected? The man who executed the contract didn't get anything. She collected it. Didn't say for righteousness sake. You now go and collect tithe and give God. I like what the bishop said. Thanks for coming to report yourself. You know, if you steal money, don't tithe it to. You think that you pay God off. No, it's called reporting. So where did you see this money? Say, Lord. You know, where did you see the money? Just take your portion. You know, you're a mafia don. Just rebuke the devourer. This is my protection money. You know they call protection money? That's what you pay to mafia don. People like that are very faithful titers. Pastors, we think they are good people. First fruit. This is my whole month's salary. My first fruit. Take. You take that one. The other fruits. The other stolen fruits is with me. They come, lay the whole salary down. So they attach a copy of the pay slip for verification purposes. But the other fruit is at home. People like that. Anytime you say, we are building the new church and God has laid it upon our hearts to complete this project in the next 12 months. Who is going to give the first 1 minute? They will come to the front. You know what's driving them to the front? Guilty conscience. I want to pay God his portion. God collect your own. No, keep somebody. And God says, when I'm counting, I can't count those people. I can't. How can I count them? They now come to church. Let us pray for the country. All the violence in this land. In fact, thank God. Let us thank God he's not a Muslim. But that way, worship you, you are not a Muslim. Otherwise, once they raise their hands, just they cut up. You know? Sharia law. All the hands of Olaism. You know what I'm saying? All the tiffery hands that they are raising to God, praying to him for the country. He will just pa-pa-pa-pa-pa and put it all of them. But thank you for your mercy. No, we have to thank him. I did not be praying for. You see why prayer is not effective? What? The number of people. God is still counting them. Don't think he has stopped counting because Jesus died. The death of Jesus is supposed to increase the length of patience and increase the power of people to be different. Are you getting my point? If we still pollute the earth today, the blood of Jesus does not wash the earth. He washes human beings. Are you getting my point? It is we that now wash the earth by our works. The blood of Jesus washes you, doesn't fight your enemies, doesn't know who is called enemy. Just washes you free. It does. It washes you, immunes you to the power of this devil, of the angel of death, and the demon of destruction. That's what it does. That's what it does. Doesn't wash the earth. Doesn't understand. You don't pour it on the earth. It's against the law like that, you know. It's on people. You sprinkle the blood of Jesus on people. On the hearts of people. That's what it does. Then it is we that now wash the earth. But I've come to the next point. Maybe next I'll not be able to talk about how to utter our prayers of intercession. But I've given some background to the whole thing. We are very important. But the last thing I'm saying today, let me close with that. If you don't fulfill this criteria, if God can't count you, your prayer does not count. You hear what I said? If God can't count you, your prayer does not count. It does not count. We've talked about double-mindedness. Let me just remind us of that. Sometimes people who, their prayers count, but they don't pray. They are double-minded. They come to church and say, God, redemption, in the name of Jesus, for the land. We ask for mercy. Ask for mercy. Then they hear there's a bomb in Abuja. This country is dead, though. I don't know what the security people are doing. Eh? How can they plant a bomb that size and the security did not know? SSS is useless. Nigerian army is there. And they said they have an intelligence unit in that place. What are they intelligent in about? They just wiped out all the prayers they prayed yesterday. And they are good people. They were counted. They are salt of the earth. They don't do bad. Apart from the one with their mouth. Oh, the Lord is good. Oh. I said the Lord is good. Listen, these are the things that we must bear in mind when we're talking about how to pray for a country. Next time I'll talk about faith. Very important. Or let me say hope. Yeah, that's the word. Hope. You must have a hope. You must have an expectation. Those are the things that we all put together. We put together before we can utter words. Uttering words is not difficult. A lot of times the words have no effect because all these things are not put in place. I hope you understood what I said today. Yes, if you understood, then say amen.
Amen.
Let's just quickly share the grace. Let's just rise to our feet and give the Lord thanks. Just say, Father, I thank you. Just worship him. Just thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Just thank him. Thank him. Say, Lord, I thank you because I am the salt of the earth and I am the light of the world. I wanted to just thank him for that and declare it. Say that you are the salt of the earth and you are the light. Two crucial words for today, which you must repeat again and again this whole week. Keep on saying it, I am the salt of the earth. You understand the meaning now. That's why, you see, when you do things, when you sin, it's not yourself you are hurting alone. You are hurting everybody. You are hurting everybody. You are hurting everybody. Even Elihu said it when God was speaking to Job. Elihu said that, listen, when you sin, you hurt human beings like yourself. So just say, Lord, I thank you because I am the salt of this nation. I am the light of this community. I'm the salt of my school, my place of work, my village, my family. I'm the salt. I'm the reason why God has preserved those people. That's my calling as a believer. That's my calling as a believer. That's my calling. Thank him. Say, Lord, fill me with the power. The power. With the power to walk in a manner that is pleasing to you. Say, I receive the spirit of wisdom. I receive the spirit of revelation. I receive the ability to walk in a manner pleasing to you. In the name of Jesus, I will not walk in a manner that would disappoint you and cause me not to be counted. In the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out from darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above in Christ Jesus. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. One more time. This is your season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus. Please put up your right hand. The Lord is with you in your going out and your coming in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now hear this, and I'm not joking about it. If you were in that park, that bomb would not have gone off.
Amen.
You are safe everywhere you go in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The angels of God, they will keep you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God will, for your sake, keep your loved ones in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
No evil will befall them in Jesus' name.
Amen.
No plague will come near your home in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God will show your father, your mother, your brothers, your sisters, they will show them mercy because of your faith in Christ Jesus in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is well with you this week in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Favor will follow you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Righteousness is your portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit will restrain you from doing evil in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You know, he said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the doing of evil. Therefore, I say to you, you will not do evil in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God will guard you and protect you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If your name is David, you won't say Bathsheba.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
If you call Bathsheba, she won't hear you.
Amen.
Because of the name of God that you bear.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He said, deliver us from evil. I say, you are delivered from evil in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The prince of this world may come, but you will have nothing in you.
Amen.
You will not die suddenly.
Amen.
And you will not die by accident.
Amen.
When you will die, listen, you will be old and satisfied with years.
Amen.
You will have a smile on your face, knowing that you have fulfilled the will of God for your generation.
Amen.
Knowing that you have fulfilled the will of God in your generation.
Amen.
When you die, you will be empty. That is, everything that God has placed inside you, you will have used it up and blessed people with it.
Amen.
Only then are you permitted to die.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The gift of God in you will be stirred up and you will use it. You will not be able to hold it back in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Listen, God comes to the garden looking for fruit. You will not lack fruit in Jesus' name.
Amen.
He will not have to uproot you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Yes, he will prune you, but just so that you can bear more fruit.
Amen.
That is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Cheer up, brethren.
Amen.